I like teaching people, and I like learning from them and getting their publicity either through the radio or through the TV. Mm. Channel 31's the TV, and I interview people who are in community clubs, not-for-profit organisations, just trying to help them get their publicity out.
So you obviously believe strongly in community broadcasting, that it's fulfilling a real role here in Melbourne, well, wherever it is, but here in Melbourne, in the Outer East as well.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Mm. I love it. And it's a good way for local businesses to promote their wares. Mm. I used to have a sponsor, Allen's Bakery, and they're in Kilsyth, still there. But they used to sponsor me too as well, and, you know, no one would have ever heard of them. But at the time, people were going in saying, I heard, you know, Bill on air, and it's good to be able to come and identify with that, yeah.
I remember their cakes and sweets, cakes and things during the Radiothon broadcast.
That's right.
They were very fulfilling, if not a little bit weight-induced, if you ate too many of them.
Well, they're delicious, but, yeah, delicious things tend to put on a bit of weight.
It's unfair to ask you such a general question, but when you look back over those 35 years, what is it that stands out, be it positive or be it negative?
Oh, well, the negative was when the studios burnt down. I think everyone will probably say that. Actually, I was overseas at that time, and when I came back, it was just devastating. But we managed to pick ourselves up, and we're going gung-ho now.
Your contribution, what do you feel you have contributed over those 35 years, not just to the station, but also to the community?
I remember interviewing, this is for TV actually, the members of the Defence Force and the treatment they were getting from the governments of the day, and it still are. They come back from war zones and they've got PTSD, and the government sort of says, well, you've got to fill out many, many forms to prove that you do have some traumatic experiences and you are suffering from it. Well, to be honest, I don't see any person coming back who's volunteered for the Defence Force coming back and then pretending to have mental health problems. I think that is almost impossible to happen. You know, maybe one might or two, but, you know, they're spending millions of dollars getting 99% of them to prove that they have, to weed out one person who might be just putting it on a bit.
I would have thought that going away, I have fortunately never been in that position, but if you did go away to serve your country in whatever theatre of war, that when you came back, it was a given that you would come back traumatised in some shape or form.
Yeah, and you'd need help.
Yes.
Well, you know, I was of that thoughts as well, but when I interviewed this fellow, it wasn't the case. They have to prove it every which way but loose, and I think that's wrong.
So you felt in interviewing them and promulgating the information that you had, that you would have helped their cause to some extent?
Oh, I feel confident about that, yeah. Also, I remember, not on that aspect, something else that I've remembered, Bob Toll is still here with us. I used to follow him at one stage, and he had an uncanny knack of getting the timing of his last song down to the second. When I'm finishing my program, I have an instrumental number, which is Peter Gunn, a variation of Peter Gunn theme. So I can fade it any time I like because there's no words. He'd have songs with words in them and he'd fade it at the exact second that he was supposed to. I find it amazing. I suppose he's still doing it.
With the rapid changes taking place all around us, especially in communications and the media, what sort of future do you think we as a community station can look forward to? I mean, can we possibly stay relevant is the question.
It's a big question, particularly with the younger generation. The younger generation doesn't listen to radio. So, yeah, we've got some challenges ahead. And I think we're going to have to encourage younger people to become members and presenters, because we may not be relevant in the next 10, 20 years.
In order to encourage them to become members, we have to have something that they can relate to, that they want to listen to or participate in.
Yes, that's why we've got to let them play their music.
But it's a difficult one, because we want to stay true to our present demographic, which is generally an older one.
Yes.
We don't want to alienate them, but in order to draw in a younger audience, we may not be able to avoid that.
Oh, if we want to stay relevant to people, we can't avoid it. It's coming, ready or not. So we have to. But some people around here don't want that to happen. Well, we'll just wither on the vine. You've got to give the younger people what they want.
And you've got to know what it is they want.
Yes.
Which takes research and time, which we're not particularly good at.
No, we're not. But just recognising that their music is relevant to them is a first step.
But of course, if you say that they're not listening to radio anyway, regardless of whether it provides them with the music they want to hear, we're going to have to be available to them on other platforms.
Yes, possibly, yeah. But we have to be available to them. I hate to say it, but our presenters and our listeners are dying. So where are our listeners coming from?
It's called natural attrition, I think, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it's happening.
Whether we like it or not.
Yeah. We don't really have to provide, at least between 7 in the morning till 7 at night, for one demographic. And even then, after 7 o'clock at night, it's still roughly the same demographic.
We're already getting the odd complaint about head-banging music on this station, and you probably wouldn't be playing any, would you, on your from your own collection?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, I play some rap and some AC/DC and stuff, yeah. You're not going to get every person liking every song you play. I mean, are you going to let your audience tell you what you're going to play? Is that what we're doing? The audience rules us and gives us our programs? No, that's not how it works. We have our policies, which sometimes I don't agree with them, but we've got those policies. Well, we make the decisions, not the audience.
But it is a marriage, surely, of what we feel we should be doing and what our listenership wants from us, a combination of those two.
Yes.
Rather than saying, sorry, if you don't like it, go away, which indeed I agree. If you don't like a particular song, you don't listen. And if you don't like the station, you don't tune in to it.
Yeah. But you don't let them dictate to you what your programs should be.
But if you get enough comment of a particular sort over a period of time, you need to be taking notice of it and giving it careful consideration.
I agree.